Welcome to the Liquid Church Podcast, a place where you can hear the timeless truth of God's Word in a way that's culturally relevant and cutting edge. We hope you'll discover how God's story relates to your own and that you will leave feeling encouraged. Thanks for joining us today and enjoy the message.
The Christmas season brings with it an air of anticipation. There's a feeling in all we do that we are getting ready for something. But in all of our getting ready, what if we're missing something? Like the real something? The holidays may bring the burden of preparation, but Advent brings the joy of expectation. Truly observing Advent looks different than many of our normal Christmas preparations. Instead of being wrapped up in all that it means for Christmas to get here, how can we start really longing for Christ to arrive?
Well, Merry Christmas, everybody. Hey, welcome to Liquid. I'm Pastor Tim. Let's welcome Church Online, all our locations joining us today. Hey, I am so proud of you guys for all you did to serve at our Christmas outreach this weekend. Y'all packed over 1 million meals to feed hungry children and families around the world. That's what Christmas is all about, isn't it? It's about giving sacrificially of ourselves so that other people can taste the love, hope, and kindness of Jesus Christ. Hey, if you're new to our church, we're on a mission with Jesus. It's not to grow a big church, but it's to make a big impact on this world that God so loves. So we don't want to just preach the good news. We want to be the good news. Amen? Be the good news to people who are hurting or hopeless, especially as we kick off Advent season, which I'm excited for, because let's be honest, Christmas can be a little overwhelming. Have you noticed Mariah is showing up earlier and earlier to torture our eardrums? The shopping frenzy is ramping up. Some of you are kind of bracing for the calendar chaos, the parties, the presents, all this kind of holiday hype, which is why we're calling this series something simpler, quieter, called Advent. Now, Advent is a Latin word. It means coming or arrival as we anticipate the birth of our Savior Jesus. And my prayer, my heart, is that the next few weeks won't just be crazy making for you. It'll be more than shopping and cooking an Amazon wish list, but a chance to kind of recalibrate our hearts on the things that matter most, like God's love, His peace, His hope. It's interesting, for hundreds of years, Christ followers have used the Advent season to actually slow down, clear the clutter, and get our hearts ready for Advent or the arrival of Jesus. So if you're here today and you're like, man, I'm longing for that simpler, quieter Christmas, less hype, more holy. That's what this series is about. In fact, today I'm going to introduce you to some beautiful, old school, very ancient traditions that Christ followers have practiced down through the centuries to kind of get their hearts in tune for Advent. So let me start by explaining what Advent is. How many of you have heard that term, Advent? It's a four-week season in the Christian calendar all around the world leading up to Christmas Eve. And that term Advent, like I said, it's a Latin word, and it means coming or arrival. So in some ways, Advent begins by looking back to the first coming or arrival of Jesus, the birth of Jesus, 2,000 years ago. That's the first Advent or coming of Christ. Theologians call it the incarnation, this whole idea that the Son of God became a human baby, and he made his dwelling among sinful humans. But Advent then also looks forward to the second Advent, or the coming of Christ, when Jesus will not return as a baby, but as a conquering, glorious king. So Advent is really about this sense of hope, anticipation, making room in our hearts to receive Christ afresh as both humble baby and conquering king. You know, at Advent, Christians all around the world right now, and this is more on a liturgical calendar, they're invited to actually slow down. And that's the opposite of our culture, which kind of speeds up. Clearing the clutter rather than just piling on more, and fall in love with Jesus all over again. Now, to celebrate Advent, the global church has developed, I think, some beautiful traditions over the last 1,000 years. If you've ever visited a liturgical church, anybody ever go to an Anglican service or Episcopalian, maybe you grew up Catholic, you may have seen Advent celebrations that feature special scripture readings. It's always an Advent tradition to read from Old Testament prophets like Micah or Isaiah. In other words, they prophesied, they predicted thousands of years before Jesus. They saw into the future and they predicted and prophesied the arrival of a Messiah, a Savior born in Bethlehem who would who would ransom and save Israel and, of course, us. Advent worship also includes sacred songs. Today, how many of you like the Christmas carols today? We sang Joy to the World, O Come All Ye Faithful. These are traditional Advent hymns that date all the way back to the 14 to the 1700s. And then there's these special traditions like lighting candles on an Advent wreath, like this one. How many of you have actually seen an Advent wreath before? Okay, this is so interesting. This is a German tradition. They first appeared in Lutheran Germany in the 1700s. And it's like most wreaths, right? It's made of evergreen branches. And that whole idea is the evergreen, that green color. It symbolizes life in the middle of winter and death in New Jersey. And it's a circle because it's a symbol of God's everlasting nature and his never-ending love for us. Now, notice something here. There's five candles. There's four of them around this middle white one. And each one symbolizes something different in the weeks leading up to Christmas. Each candle represents something important about the quality of what Christ's coming means. For instance, the first candle symbolizes hope. Everyone say hope. That's called the prophet's candle. Because the Hebrew prophets of the Old Testament would wait in hope. Maybe this is the year. 100 years ago, another 200 years, 1,000 years ago, they're waiting for the Messiah to come. Now, the second candle represents love, and it's called Bethlehem's candle. Because the prophet Micah said, you know what? The Messiah is going to be born in this podunk town called Bethlehem, the birthplace of King David. The third candle symbolizes joy, and this is called the shepherd's candle. This is important because the shepherd's great joy, right? The angels announce, hey, today God has come for the humble, unimportant peon people like you. And in liturgy, the color pink or rose signifies joy. And the fourth candle represents peace. It's called the angel's candle because they announce, behold, a prince of peace has come. He's going to reconcile men to God and us to each other. Now, this last candle in the middle is what you typically light on Christmas. It represents light. It's actually called the Christ candle. And it's lit on Christmas Day to remind us that Jesus is the light of the world who dispels the darkness. Now, according to Advent tradition, what you would do is every Sunday, you'd have a church family come up and light one candle, kind of signifying that we're 1 week closer to the advent or arrival of Jesus. The light of Christ is about to break into our sin-dark world. So this week, I'm going to invite up pastors Chris and Judy Capua to come light our first candle. Give them a hand. So glad you guys are here. Maybe you could introduce yourselves and tell us what you do.
Sure. Yeah, my name is Chris, and I have the privilege of being the campus pastor at our Somerset County location.
Pastor Chris.
And my name is Judy, and I've been the campus manager in Mountainside, and I've recently stepped in as discipleship pastor here at Liquid.
Awesome. We're so glad you guys are here. They're going to light our first candle, and then they're going to share an Advent reading from the book of Isaiah. Now, this is an ancient Old Testament prophecy predicting the birth of Jesus.
The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders.
And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever.
Amen. Let's put our hands out, church. Let's pray and commit Advent to our coming King. Jesus, it is Advent and we welcome you. We just proclaim that Jesus, you are the light of the world. And Lord, with a very divided and dark world right now, you are our only hope, Lord, in the darkness of sin. So we thank you for the ancient prophecy that a light would one day come, a wonderful counselor in a time of conflict, a prince of peace in an age of anxiety. This Advent, Lord, would you just help us as a congregation, as a church family, slow us down, Lord. Help us listen for your still small voice, sense your presence, and fall in love with you all over again, Lord. On this first weekend of December, we open our hearts, Jesus, to celebrate your arrival this Christmas. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said, amen. Thank you, guys. Appreciate you, guys. Slowing down is really kind of a wonderful way to kind of just prepare your heart for Advent. In this December, I want to let you know, our digital team actually created two very special Advent tools that families can use at home, and they're both in our Liquid Church app. The first, we put together a 21-day daily Advent devotional. So every single morning, for the next 3 weeks, you can wake up and you're going to find a brand new devotional waiting for you on the Liquid mobile app. Now, these are very short. They're videos, 3 to 5 minutes, and they're going to kind of help you clear your mind and just center your heart towards the real meaning of the Christmas season. So start tomorrow. Just slow down for a few minutes. Let me encourage you, meet with Jesus first thing each morning. Don't reach for your phone this Christmas. Actually, reach for your phone, but through your phone, we're reaching for Christ. And in the app, we want this to be part of your daily habits. You can also get these devotionals texted to you each morning. If that's you, you're like, hey, just text Advent to 85737 right now. You can subscribe. You got the first one tomorrow morning. And then parents, those of you with little kids, we used to do this with our kids when they were little. We created a weekly Advent guide to use with your children. It's got everything you need to actually host an Advent candle lighting in your home. It's going to have scriptures you can read, prayers that your kids can pray together, and songs for you to sing as a family. And there's a new guide each week for your family. So we hope it'll just take 20 minutes maybe each week just to kind of focus on really being present to the people God's placed in your life. And that's our Christmas gift to you. We hope those devotionals and Advent guides will help you slow down, clear that clutter, and really make room for the Advent of Jesus. Now, I want you to think about this. It's kind of crazy when I keep saying, you know, slowing down, clearing the clutter, because I think Christmas is one of the most overwhelming, overstuffed schedules and times of the year. In fact, anybody else arrive on the 24th empty and exhausted, just like, you know, we pile on the purchases. Did you get that? They put on the Amazon wish list. We worship a lot less. We spend a lot more. And a traditional American Christmas, let's be honest, it works like this. We buy stuff we don't need with money we don't have to impress people we don't even like, right? Like, how sad is that? Instead of drawing us closer to God, the holiday stress pushes us farther away. But Advent is the essence of a holiday. Now, think of holiday. It actually comes from the term holy day. Do you know that that's where we get the word holiday from? In other words, it's supposed to be the opposite of holiday hype. So to prepare our hearts this morning, I want to take a quick look at the original Advent announcement when an angel delivers the news to Mary, who at the time, anybody know how old Mary was? Yeah, probably 13 or 14, man. She's a middle school girl, okay? A lot shorter lifespan back then when God visited her. And the Gospel of Luke records it this way. It says, the angel went to Mary and said, greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting might this be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he'll reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. Now, I want you to think about this. I don't know what you were doing when you were 13. But Mary was a Jewish peasant girl, no education, living in a no-name podunk town called Nazareth, Israel. We took a dozen of you there in May to our trip to Israel. Let me show you a picture I took in Nazareth. This is actually from the Church of the Annunciation. Remember this? They invited nations around the world to make an art piece to commemorate this angelic announcement we just read to Mary. This one's made by Filipino believers. And it shows Gabriel announcing to Mary that the Son of God's going to be born in your belly, girl. Now, she's young, strike one. She's poor, strike two. She's female, strike three. All three characteristics in first century culture said you are unqualified for any major responsibility. But I want you to think about this. The eye of God, the all-powerful God of the universe, he handpicks this humble peasant girl to be the mother to the Messiah. Mary, you're going to have a baby. And when this baby arrives, it's going to change everything. How many of you know that from experience? When a new baby arrives, everything changes. The whole world gets turned upside down. Last week on Thanksgiving morning, Colleen and I were getting ready to host Thanksgiving dinner at our house, and Pastor Clint and his wife Abby were going to join us. And some of you guys know Abby is pregnant. And Pastor Clint texted me, and he said, I don't think we're going to make dinner today. I was like, why? He's like, Abby's water just broke. Suddenly a baby coming, it changes plans a little bit, doesn't it? Well, the good news is 24 hours later, Clint and Abby welcomed a beautiful baby girl. This is Elowen Grace Taylor. Isn't she amazing? Look at her. Man, 7 pounds, 10 ounces. They call her Winnie. I love that. And Clint, I was talking with him. He's in love all over again. He's just like gaga for her. Winnie's just filled our hearts with these words we can't express. We're in love and we're exhausted by our miracle. Understand, Clint and Abby actually struggled with infertility for many years, and it was 3 years ago where we began praying and fasting for a miracle, and they never gave up hope in all of their waiting. And God eventually answered their prayers this Thanksgiving. Can we just give God a praise? That's a wonderful, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful testimony to God's faithfulness. Guys, Advent is kind of waiting for God to birth this thing into our world. A broken world is birthing forth something brand new. It's this stunning news that God is so in love with you as his daughter, as his son, that he stripped it all away. He took off all his royal robes, stepped through the corridors of space and time, left his throne in heaven, and he came to earth in the form of a naked, vulnerable baby. If you think about it, I'm not talking about American Christmas. Advent is the opposite of the American dream. The American dream, right, is a rags-to-riches story, right? You go from poor to rich. Advent is the opposite. It's a riches-to-rags story. The Almighty God who has it all gives it all away to come be with you. I want you to think about that. At Christmas, the God of all creation became one of us to be with us. Turns out the real present at Advent is his presence. God's presence is the present. Let that sink in, because it'll change the way you view Christmas. You know, our world tells us right now, the way you show love to others at Christmas is by spending money. But God shows love by spending himself. The king literally gives away his most precious possession, his son, to give you the gift of salvation, a restored relationship with God. You catch this? Advent lets us experience Christmas from God's perspective, from inside the manger, not inside the mall. Amen? Now, Mary's response, I love this, because she could have responded a lot of different ways. It's kind of breathtaking. She has this beautiful posture, I think, of openness. She wasn't too busy. She wasn't distracted or worried. In fact, she was very obedient. She certainly had questions for God, like, how's this going to be? I have never had sex before. She was right to be concerned. As an unmarried, pregnant teen, her family might reject her. Her community might stone her. Her fiance Joseph might leave her. But I love the faith of this girl, by the way. Don't ever, young people, never think that God can't use you for big things. Mary had an uncluttered heart that welcomed God's promise. You know what she said? I love this. Look at verse 38. It's just beautiful. Mary responded. Let's read this together, church. I am the Lord's servant. May everything you've said about me come true. This is beautiful, open posture. Lord, whatever you want. God, I don't understand all the details of how this is going to work out in my life, but I'm your servant. So whatever you want to do in my life, may it be that way. Let me just kind of ask you to start the Advent season. Would that describe your posture of your heart today? Like, would you say, man, I'm just like open to what God wants to do in my life? Because maybe God's asking you something, do something very difficult this December. Maybe you're vaguely aware that God is actually calling you to sacrifice in some way. Are you too busy to hear his voice? Too busy to obey? Or do you have this posture of Mary that just says, man, Lord, I'm here to serve you. And if this is what you have for my life in this season, may everything you said about me come true. It's this beautiful posture. So as we slow down, let me encourage you to take a page out of Mary. Mary had to be overwhelmed, terrified. She knew no one's going to believe her story. I mean, an angel says she's pregnant with the Son of God, conceived by the Spirit. It sounds like an episode from Dr. Phil, yeah? Like totally sus. We can imagine, just imagine the anxiety Mary must have felt in that situation. But her response is beautiful. She actually responds. You know what she does next? She sings a worship song. Did you know that? In Luke chapter 1, it records what Mary sang, and this is called the Magnificat of Mary. I want to read this out loud together. It says this, and Mary said, my soul what? My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he's been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, holy is his name. It's so cool. I just don't expect a middle school girl to act like that, you know? Like in the midst of all the stress, all the uncertainty, Mary chooses just to trust God, and she just kind of worships so humbly. He's been mindful of how humble and how nothing I am and how big he is. My soul magnifies God. It's interesting. When you read the Christmas story, the original one, the Gospels, almost every character who encounters the baby Jesus, this long-awaited prophesied Messiah in this humble feeding trough, they've got the same response. Every individual worships. Mary worshiped. The angels worshiped. The shepherds worshiped. The wise men worshiped. So worshiping at Advent involves saying, hey, what's it mean right now for you to worship from the depth of your heart this Christmas? Not to go through the motions, not to sing the same familiar songs. I'm not talking about like a fuzzy nostalgia, but to intentionally scale back your busyness and running around to create space to worship humbly. Mary's world had gotten rocked by just unexpected news. And you know what she did? She quiets her soul, she gets down on her knees, and she worships. Now, that's a very powerful example to me this Advent, because I like to kind of kick it into high gear in December, like, let's finish strong. But if maybe you're here today and you're feeling a little stressed, a little overwhelmed this December, maybe you're feeling uncertain about something too. Maybe it's a job situation. You're like, man, I did not expect to end the year in this situation. Or somebody you love had a health scare, and you're like, man, it's just kind of like day to day. How are we getting terrible timing, the holidays? Or maybe you got news that you didn't expect. Life has kind of thrown you another curveball, and now it's Christmas, and it's that timing is just terrible. What can you do? Mary says, in the middle of the most uncertain circumstances of your life, our main response is to worship humbly. Don't miss this. Worship isn't just about singing songs on Sunday. Worship is a posture of the soul to get down and glorify God. Let me magnify the Lord and trust him in spite of my circumstances. Here's what she's saying. She says, my soul glorifies. The word glorifies there actually means magnify, like a magnifying glass. The Lord and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. He's been mindful of the humble state of his servant. Now, Mary's like, God sees me. I'm this small. But my God is so big, and watch this, his plans for my life are so big. And so I'm the Lord's servant. God, I trust you. Even in the middle of my worry, my upset, my anxiety, I worship the Lord. Can I ask, is that your posture to start Christmas? Or are you anxious, worried, revved up about something today? Again, maybe you got some unexpected news. You got a disturbing phone call this week. It's got you kind of cranked up. Mary says, hey, let worship displace your worry. God is in full control. Magnify the Lord with me. I want you to think about Christmas. Jesus Christ entered the sin-darkened world to cancel your sin, to cast out fear, and give you peace with his very presence. Mary shows us that worship is really about surrender. It's about surrendering your plans for how your life is going to go and say, God, you are free to interrupt. You are free to write a whole different script and flip it for me. Even if I don't fully understand, my soul will trust you and magnify the Lord. My hope is in God, my Savior. May all your dreams for my life come true. In other words, life may not look right now exactly as you planned. Anybody there? It looks a little different right now. It's not what you hoped, actually. Not what you're praying for. But this Advent, you can actually worship fully in the face of fear and uncertainty. Could that be your story this Christmas? Like, can we come together and pledge that we're not going to let the next 3 weeks, the circumstances, rule us, but instead surrender every day to God in every circumstance? Mary had a heart to receive the prophecy of Emmanuel, or God with us. It's a Hebrew name from the book of Isaiah that we had just read from. It actually means God with us. Say that with me. God with me. Make it personal. God with me. In other words, there was a prophet Isaiah 700 years before this moment who looked into the future, and God spoke to him and said, can you see through the lens there? I'm going to send a Messiah. And here's what Isaiah wrote. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Here it is. The virgin, we didn't know it would be Mary, will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. God with us. In some incredible supernatural way, just as Jesus was gestating in Mary's belly at Christmas, Christ comes to you today and says, will you let me be born again in your heart? Will you open your hands and your heart through faithful worship? Is there room? Or are you so distracted and busy and worry? This Advent, God says, would you clear the clutter and make room in your heart, like Mary, for the birth of Emmanuel, God with us? If you're new to Christianity, so many people say, well, what's the big deal about, you know, Jesus being born to a virgin? This is so important. See, when Jesus was finally born as a baby, what that means is he was 100% human. In other words, he was born to Mary. But on the other hand, he was 100% God. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. The seed of the supernatural was in him. He was born with this divine purpose, that he was going to enter the mess of human suffering, reveal God's love for you, and die in your place as a sacrifice. And for 33 years, our Savior led a life of perfect obedience, perfect worship, surrendered to the Father. Think of it this way. Jesus lived the sinless life that I could never live. Yeah? Anybody else mess up? And on the cross, he says, I'm going to die the death, Tim, that you deserve for your rebellion against God. See, by becoming a baby, this is so important. Jesus took on your humanity, but not your depravity. The first Christmas, it turns out, was the beginning of God's great rescue plan to ransom a lost and perishing world. A king is born in a manger, and then he's crucified on the cross. And the hope of Advent is that in the middle of our waiting, in the middle of our confusion, our anxiety, God comes in the humblest and most vulnerable of ways with the greatest of gifts, the gift of eternal life to everyone who would believe in his birth, death, and resurrection. Amen? Well, at Liquid, we commemorate Christ's love and sacrifice by celebrating communion. And that's how we want to kick off this Advent season. So on your way in today, you should have received a communion cup. You can take that out now. If you didn't receive one, just raise your hand right now and our ushers will come give you one. If you're at church online, just you get some crackers and juice. But we call it communion. Some traditions call it the Eucharist or the Lord's Supper. And it's actually this beautiful ancient tradition that the early Christians did to reenact or receive the sacrifice of Jesus in their hearts. And thousands of years later, the bread or the body of Christ and the cup, the blood of Christ, it's how Christians say, you know what? I'm one of his. I'm loyal to King Jesus. Jesus was born for you. Jesus died for you. Jesus was raised to life for you, and he's coming again for you. Amen? So when we receive communion, we remember Christ's first advent, but then we look forward to his second advent, his second coming. So if you've received Christ as your Savior, you worship him like Mary did as Lord of your life, you're welcome at the Lord's table. Before we do, let's just take a moment to prepare our heart. Bible says that we ought to examine ourselves before we receive the bread and the cup. So this is just a moment to repent and reflect. And let me just ask you, how's your heart this morning? Are you like, man, it is in the trim, Tim. I just feel close to God. Or maybe if you're honest, you're like, I've already started drifting. Here comes the Christmas drift. Or maybe you're here and I'm like, I feel nothing. I feel cold and distant. Listen. If you feel distant from God, understand something. He hasn't gone anywhere. In fact, this is a moment where God's inviting you to clear the clutter in your soul and reestablish your relationship with him through simple surrender to Christ. So let's just create a quiet moment right now. Silent prayer and invite the Holy Spirit to just inspect your heart. Repent of any hidden sin in your life or ways you've just been too busy and crowded God out. Say, Jesus, I want you to be born again in my heart this Advent. Take a moment for prayer. Father, your word makes a promise if we confess our sins, you are faithful, you are just, and you will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so in this moment, Father, your children were gathered here. We get down on our knees, we bow before the manger, and we look at love, love personified. Father, I don't know that I would give up my son. In fact, I could say I wouldn't give up my son for sinful people. But that's why your ways are higher than our ways. ways. Your thoughts greater than our thoughts. Thank you for the salvation, rescue plan of coming through Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, for your obedience, for living the life we couldn't live. Would you forgive us of our sins right now? Just ask the Lord to forgive you. Say, cleanse me. Renew a right spirit in me. I want to draw close to you. Father, we thank you so much for the cross. We thank you for the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus, which restores us and makes us whole, adopted into your family through faith. We receive this now, this gift, with grateful hearts. Right now, you can pull back the foil and take out the cracker. You can break that, the body of Christ broken for you. And then you can take the cup, his blood shed for you. Jesus says, often as you drink this cup and eat this bread, you do so in remembrance of me until I come. You may take the elements. Father, receive the gifts of God as the people of God. We are yours. Flow through us, in us, do a mighty work in us this Advent. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want to check out Liquid Church for a weekend service, small group, outreach, or clean water trip, you can find out more about us online at liquidchurch.com. And if you enjoyed the podcast, go ahead and subscribe or share it with your friends. Thanks again for listening.